And now, Deirdre Nealon, editor of Upstate Medical University's literary and visual arts journal, The Healing Muse, with this week's selection.
Thank you, Linda. The Americans with Disabilities Act was passed by Congress in 1990. It is justly celebrated for opening the doors to schools, jobs, housing, transportation opportunities for those who have physical or mental disabilities. Sometimes the ADA seems like a monolith, and it's quite instructive when we read something that reminds us we are talking about people. Jack Turin sent us a poignant memoir about his son. I would like to read an excerpt from his essay, Greggy. On September 17, 1980, my son Gregory Mark Turin died. He was 17. The usual outpourings of sympathy after such an event were somewhat muted. A few close friends commiserated deeply and sincerely, but others were more restrained. Some stated openly what they thought, while others implied it. The thought was always the same. How can any parent mourn the death of a severely handicapped child, a child with nothing to look forward to? They should be glad it's all over. Greggy was born severely mentally disabled. He also had cerebral palsy. He spent most of his life in a wheelchair. During the last 5 years of his life, he was almost completely immobile. The only parts of his body he could move were his toes and wrists. All the natural functions of life that others accomplished automatically had to be done for him. Yet watching this child struggle to gain satisfaction, saluting each day with wide-eyed wonder at what was to come, drinking in and enjoying the tiny portion of life that was allotted to him, gave us a reward that can't be measured in normal human terms. Taking care of Greggy was a 24-hour-a-day job. He was a very demanding child because the only means he had of controlling his life was his voice, which he used constantly. He learned to baby talk when he was 5, and baby talked for the rest of his life. During all that time, we never heard from that baby talk one word of self-pity or bewailing his fate. What we did hear were demands to see, do, go. Greggy wanted to see everything, go every place, learn everything he could. His world was restricted to a far smaller portion than that given to most people, but that tiny share of life was a constantly unfolding vista of wonderment for him. As I sat struggling with my grief, many questions came to me. One of them was, what would Greggy do in a situation like this if one or both of us had died before him? He would have missed us deeply, but he would not have buried himself in a morass of self-pity. He would have continued to use whatever limited ability he possessed to develop, to learn, to drink his tiny cup of life to the fullest. To honor Greggy's memory, I decided to do what he would have done: study, learn, teach, use my life in the best way possible. Over the years, when I looked into the eyes of some of my students and saw a look of magical curiosity or a sparkling sense of humor, a strange thrill went through me. I knew for that one heavenly suspended second, I had looked again into the eyes of Greggy.